podcast from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Office of National Mission. This is God's Mission Here.
Welcome back to another episode of God's Mission Here, a podcast of the Office of National Mission. I'm the Reverend Dr. Heath Trampy, Director of Discipleship for the Office of National Mission, and I am joined today by Reverend Patrick Gallagher, pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Lecanto, Florida. Today we are discussing Serving in God's Mission, which is a strategic planning workshop from the Office of National Mission. Now, Pastor Gallagher, before we get into our discussion about strategic planning, I'd love to hear just a little bit about your background, maybe the congregations you've served and some things you were doing before entering into the parish.
That's a long story, Heath, and I'll try to keep it short for us this morning. So I did a lot of things before I became a pastor. My wife actually did not marry a pastor. My kids were not born into a pastor's family. All of that changed for us back in 2003, 2004. Been to one church, a Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod Church, St. Paul in Oaklawn, Illinois. And from there, that was my sending church. Went to seminary in 2004 and graduated in 2008 by the grace of God. Had a lot of help along the way, a lot of God stories. I will save those for another episode. But the biggest thing was, after graduation, I was called to St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Columbus, Indiana. During my time at seminary, I served at St. John Lutheran Church with Pastor Steve Hauer, was a great mentor for me while I was there. Spent 11 years in Columbus, Indiana at St. Peter's, and then was called back to Illinois, which was not my plan, but it was God's plan, to a little church called Zion Lutheran Church in Marengo. And it was a great experience those 4 years, serving under Senior Pastor Jonathan Ripke, a good man, and also a school at St. John's, a school at St. Peter's, and a school in Marengo. And then from there, I received a call to my church here in Florida. And this is a church very much like the church I came from almost 20 years ago. And so my wife and I have been here. This is the first time I'm sitting in the chair of a soul pastor. My other two roles were as associates, and so it's a whole different process.
Yeah, I'll bet it is. And apropos of nothing, I ran cross country with John Ripke at Concordia many years ago.
I won't say how many, but
it was a couple of years ago. Well,
that's
thank
so
you.
Funny.
Yeah, it's a small world for sure. Thank you for that information, Pastor. I think it's interesting for the hearers, and I think it provides wonderful context for the rest of the discussion. So how did you and your leaders determine that it was time for strategic planning?
So Heath, when I got here, Faith had an interim for 14 months, who was a great pastor, Pastor Griffin, and he did a wonderful job kind of preparing the congregation for a new pastor and helping to begin the question process of where do we go from here? So he kind of laid the groundwork for us. And then when I came in, to be honest, Heath, I had 16 years worth of ministry behind me. And before that, all my work outside of church, and had an understanding of mission and vision. And if we don't have a target to aim for, we'll hit nothing and we'll just do the same thing day after day. And so when I got here, I spent a little time looking around and talking to people and figuring out what the church is all about and what's the framework we're operating under. And after that, began to have conversations with folks about creating a vision, casting a vision, and gaining a purpose and a mission for the church. And I have to confess here, and this is the shameful, prideful part of me, but I had a perfect mission and a perfect vision and plan for our church. And as you know, you can laugh at that like I do now, because I can't do a whole lot all by myself. We need the whole congregation together. And if they take something from me, they're going to look to me to get it accomplished. And I'm not capable and I'm not able. So we stepped back, we prayed, we asked God, we questioned things, and we were led in a much different direction.
I actually feel a kinship to your experience in this way. I started my ministry experience at a large church that was doing a lot of things extremely well in Fort Wayne, Indiana, St. Peter's. And when I got to my second congregation, I was the soul pastor, and they were looking for direction. And so we did a process of strategic planning that did remind me throughout the process that my ways are not always God's ways, and that he knows better than I do. And sometimes those folks in the congregation who have been in that community their whole lives know quite a bit as well. And so wonderful to work together on that. I am curious, how did your congregation find out about serving in God's mission specifically?
So that's a great question. And obviously, the serving in God's mission is part of the whole process of CADS by the Reverend Dr. Mark Woods. And truth be told, we had a visitor in our congregation. He and his wife had been visiting for several months before I got here. And when the other interim pastor left, he told me, he said, Mark Holzwart is a guy you need on your team. And Mark Holzwart is a guy who, I believe, his mission and ministry in life is consulting with churches and helping churches get from where they are to where they'd like to be or where they see God taking them. And so he's done that for a great length of time. And as we brought Mark into membership and brought him onto our team, he's the one that brought us the info from the Synod and from Reverend Dr. Mark Woods, that whole CADS process. And then through that CADS process, the first part of it that we looked at was a survey that the whole congregation participated in. And we asked not just members, but guests, visitors, people from the community. We opened it up on the internet. We had almost 100 people take the survey.
That's
great. And our church worships about 120. So almost everybody. And through the process of that survey, our mission vision team was led down a road to the serving in God's mission piece as what would be best for us. And strategic planning is a big part of that, mostly the whole part of it. So that's what led us here. It was the placement of God putting Mark on our team, Mark having experience outside of our church, but inside our Lutheran church, bringing that CADS process in, initiating the survey alongside the team, and helping us to see this would be a great way for us to go through a process that would allow the entire congregation to participate at some level or whatever level they choose as individuals, and that we would wind up with the most godly outcome.
One thing that I'm finding in my new role is that often people will come because of word of mouth endorsements by other ministries, mm-hmm. other ministry leaders. And you know, what I love about this podcast season is we're getting the word out because we want everybody to know about these great things that are typically free of charge for the congregation and self-directed yeah. and build consensus. And you mentioned CADS, which stands for the Congregational Assessment of Development Decline Status. And we've been sort of hinting at that in each episode for good reason. Often this process starts with CADS. Your congregation mm-hmm. did a wonderful job. Boy, that's an incredible turnout.
Yeah.
And from that survey, you get data that helps you, you know, what's our next step? Where are we now? And in your case, you thought strategic planning would be a good next step. Now, the Serving in God's Mission workshop module has a process. Do you mind if I share just really quickly sort of the steps of that process?
No, that'd be great.
Okay, thank you. So I'll do this real quick. And so first we identify our purpose, and that would be sort of why are we here? Each of these, you know, kind of have a practical question attached. Then we identify our mission. You know, what are we doing? We develop a vision for our mission and action. So what is this going to look like? We create a culture of consensus. So we're going to be getting to that. I'll wait just a moment to talk about mm-hmm. that. We shape actionable objectives and goals. So what are the things we can do? And then we take strategic action. And it reminds me of the old Nike catchphrase, just do it.
Yep.
Get to action and dig your hands in. So you are still in this process. Would you share just briefly about where you're at in the process, how this has kind of taken shape in your own setting?
Sure. So praise be to God. We had a voters meeting last Sunday, April 27th. And at that voters meeting, we approved all the work that our mission and vision team had done through the Serving in God's Mission information. And so for us, I got here in October of 2023, was installed, and began the conversations about the need for strategic planning. And we began the survey back in May 1st of 2024. And here we are on May 1st of 2025, 1 year later, and we've approved everything. And so it took us some time to get through the survey itself, to get through the Serving in God's Mission piece. But the wonderful part of it was the number of people from the congregation that were involved, right at the beginning, right in the middle, and then all the way through to the end. And some were involved in the hands-on, I'm here at this session, and I'm going to speak, and I'm going to talk, and we're going to have the small group participants in that. And then others were involved in praying for the process as we went through it. And others were involved in just keeping afloat in what we were doing as we shared each week the things that we had discovered as a part of the Serving God's Mission framework and plan. So the first part of it for us is the Bible study that goes with it. And the Bible study was led by one of our members who just volunteered. He stepped up. He had not been a leader in other positions. And in fact, he'd never led a Bible study. It was the first time. But Heath, I wonder if you've ever run into people like that, where you look at him, you're like, that guy would do really well at this. Have you had that experience?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. And he was wonderful. He was so prepared. And the material from the workshop, let me go back for a second and just affirm one thing you said. Once we decided to do this and connected with the district office on that here in Florida, Georgia, everything from the district office or from the synod was free for us. So we didn't pay a dime for the materials, for the assistance, the guidance, for the conversations that we had with Dr. Woods. Everything was at no cost to us as a church, which is so helpful to any church, you know, to be able to spend your money wisely and not spend it on things that perhaps you can't show the value of. This will show immense value, and it's already doing that. So our good friend John did the Bible study piece, and he was prepared, and he engaged the congregation, and he talked to them right up front. He said, the role of this Bible study is that you would get to know each other better, and you'd get to trust each other so that we can have greater trust in the whole body of Christ as we go forward into the next part of this, which is the strategic planning part. And man, watching God work through John and the others that were a part of that team, simply amazing. People who had started, and each one of them maybe had their own small group that they knew, four or five, that they would sit with or chat with or go to lunch with afterward, after church. And by the time we were done, every single person in that room could have told you the name of the others, some of their story, their family connections, and how they got to faith. Lutheran Church, that is, not maybe to faith itself in Christ, which is the foundation of it all. But that's how it kind of went. And then when the Bible study itself was over, and that was a 9-week study, I believe, we paused for a little bit, and then we started the strategic planning workshops in January of this year. And the crew, I know in the workbooks, it talks about a core team and a extended planning team, and we'll talk about that more in a second.
Yeah.
But we just had the one team because we're a smaller church. And so we just had a core planning team, and the extended planning team was a part of that. We did it all together. And then we continued on with our mission and vision leadership team that did some work behind the scenes to make sure we were flowing well with the rest of the congregation. And in the end, we came up with a great mission, a great purpose, a great vision, developed our core values. And we have 31 SMART goals for the congregation. And that sounds like a lot, I would imagine, but we created the SMART goals for each different aspect of the church and of the ministry. And so that was something that worked out really well for us. And now we're at that, let's go, let's get it done. And in that voters meeting, we talked to the whole congregation about what part of this do you want to participate in? What part of this do you want to perhaps lead? Where do you feel God is going to take you in this next season as we go forward and complete these? And so a lot of those SMART goals are already being worked on. And even since last Sunday, we have a couple that we can check off and thank God for the fact that work is done and move on to the next.
That's really encouraging. And I'm so glad you mentioned some of the numbers, because while you do not have a small congregation, it is more in keeping with, you know, sort of a typical LCMS congregation that we would, you know, expect to see in any community.
Right.
We have had a couple of larger churches reach out to us looking to utilize this as well. So it really doesn't matter what size your congregation is. If you have interested people, this could really work well.
Right.
And you mentioned a core planning team and an expanded planning team. And the materials make it clear that if you don't have just tons and tons of people running around, you probably don't need to expand the planning team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that core team is probably going to be plenty. And if you feel that you've already answered this, I apologize. I might just need it rephrased. But
sure.
How did you select your core planning team?
It's a great question. So on our mission vision team, which was the beginning of the process for us, prior to even connecting with this synod resource, that mission vision team had 12 members on it already. And by the time we got down to beginning the mission or the strategic planning process, that mission vision leadership team had cut down to 6, I think. And so those 6 people worked together, we prayed about it, and then we sent out an invitation to the entire congregation, and we focused specifically on those that had already participated in the Bible study. And we said, if you are willing and able to be part of our planning team, we would love to have you on board. And so those specific invites to individuals and then a general invite to the entire congregation brought us 30 people that were part of that core planning team. And what a great number it was to have sitting at the tables. It was big enough to shuffle people around, to put people in groups, to break them up by perhaps elders, trustees, finance people, the board itself, our congregational board, and all those things. And so that's how we formed our core planning team. And here it worked out well doing it that way. So those were the people that went through the strategic planning part of the module together.
Wow, that's great. One thing the materials talks about is the four P's of congregant personality types. And you know, everybody's unique. And I'm sure for most people, we would maybe espouse one or more of these categories. But for the purposes of teaching, there's four kind of clear categories. And maybe as we, as the listeners are hearing this, they can sort of, you know, put people that they know in their lives into one of these. I certainly can with people I've worked alongside. But we have the promoters. Mm-hmm. And these are the earliest supporters, people that love new ideas. You had mentioned some key leaders who helped kind of lead the congregation towards this process. Mm-hmm. You have the planners, which are early supporters that really do need a sound plan. So these folks want to kind of make sure the ducks are getting into a row before they get on board, but they're usually on board. Then you have the pragmatists. These are late supporters, and they kind of want to see some results before they get super involved. Mm-hmm. And then you have the protectors. And these are the people who are the latest supporters, and maybe they don't end up supporting it at all, and they prefer to keep things as they are. Yeah. And this isn't like a, you know, an A, B, C, D, failing grade, passing grade kind of situation. Everybody has their value in their own unique perspectives. And so when forming a core planning team, there is no damage done by having one of each in that team. I would say that most people who would want to be on a core planning team probably fall into the first couple categories, but all have value in the congregation. So as I hear this good-sized group, you know, more than a couple dozen people, have you found that there are advantages to doing what I would think of as ground-up strategic planning?
Absolutely. Like I said, when I got here, Heath, I had a perfect plan. But it was only perfect in my own eyes, and it was one that I had perhaps prayed and asked God about, but it was me on my own doing that. And I can tell you for sure that if that's what the direction that we had gone, we would have failed already. We would have failed because people would have seen that for what it is, a manly thing, not a godly thing. And they would also see it as something that came from me, one individual. Even though I have the title pastor, I'm just one person. And if I came and, you know, this is like Moses from the mountain, this is what we're going to do. Moses did well with that, but he had his share of troubles.
Right.
So the ground-up strategic planning piece gives everybody a voice. It gives them the opportunity to be involved and engaged at whatever level they choose. And like I said, many chose to be a part of that core planning team, which was really helpful. You talk about the four Ps, and I got to tell you, our leadership team probably had more trouble with that than anything else. Because mm-hmm. we're looking at the module, and it says that you should have everybody identify themselves and then everybody else in the room. And we just thought about it, talked about it, prayed about it. We're like, that's not going to work real well here. So
yeah,
instead of that, what we did is we presented the four Ps, the promoters, planners, pragmatists, and protectors. And we presented the key components of each one of them. And then we just told them, every one of you identify with one of these already. And we're not going to ask you which one you are. But we need to understand that all four of these need to be a part of what's going on, because if it's just the promoters and planners, the pragmatists and protectors are going to sit in their seats with their arms crossed and their hearts closed. So we discovered that it was important for us to have each one of those Ps as a part of our group, and we did. We had promoters, planners, pragmatists, and protectors, all four. And the reason it was important was because in the end of it all, those protectors and pragmatists, they are ones who will talk about what's going on. And if they talk about it in a positive way, if they talk about it and say, I was a part of it, I was there, I was heard, and that's the big thing, I was heard, and I've had my opportunity to have an input on what's going on, Then when we get to the end of things, using that consensus model, they have agreed to be a part of it. And they talk to their friends, and their friends will agree to be a part of it as well. And there are things that are a part of what we do now, and there are things that are not a part of what we do now. And some of those are because of the four different P's that we have in our crew. That ground-up strategic planning was critical. One of the other things we discovered, Heath, was the strategic inventory or the resource inventory. And that, I got to tell you, if you're sitting in the congregation and you don't have a plan, a lot of people like me, I'd say a lot of people are like me. I guess we make that comparison. But a lot of people wonder, where are we going? Where's God leading us? And we don't have anything going for us. So when we took the whole crew and said, okay, let's look at our resources, and we used the big sticky things you put up on the wall, and everybody had their own sticky notes to put things on, and people writing things down as fast as they could and putting them up in different categories. And before you know it, we've got a list that stretches down a whole page, single-spaced, of the things God has blessed us with already. And seeing that helped us to see that we're not starting from zero. We're starting with all of these things God's already blessed us with. The question for us to answer is not how will he bless us in the future, but what will we do with all the blessings we already have? You know, and where is he calling us to go? So that was really helpful. The strengths inventory or the resource inventory was really helpful.
I really appreciate you bringing that up. The name Revitality has maybe a bit more depth to it than what meets the eye originally. So it's R-E colon vitality. And the idea there is regarding the vitality we have already as the redeemed, you know, children of God. And so each congregation already has so much going for it. And this is a chance to build on that, to lean into strengths and work on growth areas. And so the resource inventory to me is special. And I think you said this so well, because it reinforces to that congregation that some good things are already happening right here where God has planted us.
Yep. Yeah, that was a key component for us, was to be able to tee it up on the wall. And it's different when you put it all together and then write it down and are able to take a look at it. To just think it through or talk it through, oh, we've got a building, it's paid for. We've got a fellowship hall. We've got these nasty chairs. To just think about it is one thing, but to put it on paper and see it all together, it's truly a thing to thank God for and say, here's some great building blocks and tools he's given us already with that, which was great. Yeah. One of the things that was most eye-opening in the whole journey was the number of people that participated in every part of the process, through the Bible study, through the strategic planning piece, all the way through the end. And the amount of time they were willing to put into it and the amount of heart they were willing to bring to it and the trust they had in the whole process, that was amazing. And so that was the best part of the whole thing, was to see the congregation come together in all that and just to be a part of that. So it was really cool.
It helps when people take ownership of the process.
It does.
It builds an excitement and an optimism.
Yeah.
So my congregation that I served in Nebraska, also Faith, which is kind of fun, we worked through this very early on when it was still sort of being beta tested.
Okay.
And one of the components is a SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And I was surprised, and I won't say how long I had already been serving this church. It would be embarrassing to admit. But I was surprised to find that our community was not doing the way I thought it was doing. I simply saw my congregation as a reflection of the entire community. And by going through this process, I came to realize that there were unique aspects of where we were contextually that we could address as a congregation that I hadn't been paying any attention to because I was so focused to what was going on inside the four walls of our church.
Right.
Another thing I want to bring up just very quickly, because you brought it up and I'm not sure it has come up before in this season. When you get these materials, it's not just a workbook. It's not just some videos. You also get worksheets and sticky notes and big, you know, tactile, physical things that you can write on and put up around the church so that people have these visual exercises and reminders of the process.
Yeah. Wow.
I just think that's great.
Yeah, that was another key component for us, is that the cost of it all, it's just the time of the people that are willing to take the journey. And then, of course, the cost for the food.
Oh, true.
That's Lutherans meet, Lutherans eat. And that's part of the family thing that we do together.
That's right. Well, as we wrap up, I just wanted to ask one more question for you.
Sure.
What would you tell a pastor or a ministry leader who's wondering whether now might be the time for strategic planning?
You know, Heath, I would say if you're asking that question, the answer is already obvious in the question itself. The answer is yes. We need to do this, and we need to do it well, and do it now. We had a great opportunity to do that here at Faith, and it was a good part of what we're up to. But the simple truth is that God blesses us with many things in a church, and we are stewards of those. And some would say, let the Spirit work, and why would we need to do that? And the answer is, God has blessed each of us with different things, and those things are all to be used to expand the kingdom so that the glory of God might be shown and that people might come to a knowledge of the truth and be saved. And so if you're asking the question in your church, the answer is yes. And a good way to discover a means to make those things happen is to contact your synod, contact your district office, and let them know that this is where we're at. This is where we think we need to go. How can you help? And hopefully, Heath, people listening today would make that call, and you would get that, and you'd be able to guide and direct them in the right direction, and wonderful things would happen. I can't wait to see what our congregation is going to do now. With those SMART goals in hand, with a mission and vision that is active and engaging, and knowing that God is at work and seeing the direction that he's leading us to, it's amazing. I can't wait to see what goes next.
It is. It's amazing and exciting. For those listeners who are wondering how to look into serving in God's mission, I just want to remind that we will be having links in the show notes for people to have easy access to those things. You can contact your district. You can contact the International Center. You can contact me directly, and we'd be happy to connect you with resources. We can even send you samples if you'd like to show them to your congregation. It consists of 9 sessions that can be done at the pace of the congregation. And as we've been saying, it is financially free of charge.
Absolutely.
Well, Pastor Gallagher, thank you so much for joining me today. I think this was a really fruitful discussion. I think people will really benefit from hearing it.
Thank you for having me on, Heath. And I pray to God that others will experience the blessing that we have and continue to bless you and your journey as you share the information with others.
Amen. This has been the God's Mission Here podcast, a podcast of the Office of National Mission.
Thanks for joining us. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review and don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button so that you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. God's Mission Here is a podcast that discusses Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, and how he delivers those gifts where you live and serve.